In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We start with things that are really generic and broad. And one of the things that's very generic, it's very broad, it's universal, it's wide. It's a kind of big idea. Divine mercy. Divine mercy. God is merciful. Beautiful, gorgeous idea. Generic, but it's beautiful that God is merciful. And today in the Latin church, they celebrate something called Divine Mercy Sunday. Its origins are with a Polish nun, and there's lots of interesting things you can read about. It's a beautiful idea. It's universal, it's broad, it's wide. I want to go a little bit more specific. God showed his mercy to us through Jesus Christ. And actually, there's the images right there. And you see, the image shows, I saw the actual original one in Poland. I did a trip a long time ago. And you see mercies coming from the side of Christ that was pierced with a spear. Beautiful idea, wonderful. How does that mercy, how does the grace that comes through Christ get to me as an individual? Jesus saved the whole human race. Jesus, one drop of his blood was enough to forgive the sins of the entire universe. That's the power of the Word made flesh. But how does that get to me as an individual? We see in the gospel today the answer to that question. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, even so I send you. And it says when he has said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. This is Jesus saying this. It's not Father Andy. It's not Bishop Emmanuel. It's not Pope Francis or any other pope. Jesus is saying, and it's very, very specific here. We know exactly who he's saying that to. It says he was with the disciples. Which of the disciples? We actually know exactly which ones. We know Judas wasn't there anymore. He was already dead. So there's 11 left of the 12. We also know that Thomas wasn't there. We don't know where he was. He just wasn't there at the time. We know that because right after that, it says Thomas showed up and he's like, wait, what, you saw Jesus? And the sort of whole passage of doubting Thomas comes right after this in the gospel. So he was speaking to 10 disciples, but as representatives of the all of the bishops that are going to come in the church afterwards. And he says to them, he breathed on them. Where did God breathe onto a human being? When he created Adam. It says he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. And when Jesus breathes into the disciples, he is creating them anew. He is making them new. They are a new creation now. How does the new creation happen? Again, generic ideas have to be made particular. How does creation become renewed? If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. I am renewed as an individual. I receive God's mercies as an individual by the sacraments, by baptism, which forgives our sins, by the Eucharist, which forgives our sins. Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you for the forgiveness of sins. So when we receive the Eucharist, it forgives our sins, venial sins, is the teaching of the church. And more particular, again, not generically, more particular to today, through confession. Jesus gave, and I don't know why, he didn't ask my opinion on it, he did it. He gave the power to forgive sins to men that 2 days before, 3 days before, had betrayed him, had abandoned him out of fear and cowardice. 2 days later, 3 days later, those same sinners, Jesus gave the power to forgive sins. And that power is passed down until it got to me, a terrible sinner, and yet, it's not my choice. It's given to me. Generation after generation, by the laying on of hands, the same Spirit is given to all the priests and the bishops of the church. It's terrifying to know that Jesus gave this kind of power to the sons of men. It really is. And yet, it's his will. It's there. It's inescapable. This is how divine mercy reaches our hearts. Through the sacraments that we receive individually, so that we are no longer individuals, we are now members of the body of Christ. That's why I sit in the confessional before Mass every Sunday when I come here. That's why the church really demands, it's a law of the church, once a year, it's a prescript of the church, once a year, every Catholic, minimum, once a year, should go to confession. Once a year, it's not too much. I know we're all busy, but nobody's that busy. And it only takes a couple minutes anyway. More often, it's probably better, maybe once a month, every few weeks, whatever. But it's great to talk about divine mercy, but in the Chaldean church, we have a different name. This Sunday is called Chosha Bachatha, New Sunday. It's not quite as universal, it's a little bit more particular. Why is the Sunday after Easter New Sunday? It actually has a historical reason. The historical reason is when people were baptized at the Easter Vigil, they would put on white clothing to celebrate that they're now members of the church. So they would wear that clothing for a week, and then today, a week after Easter, they would change their clothes. So New Sunday is like, okay, they're wearing new clothes now. It's like, but it's not about the clothing. It's the theological meaning. The resurrection, which was a week ago, renewed the entire human race. Now Jesus breathed into the disciples. Now they breathe into us. They forgive our sins. We are a new creation. That is a stunning idea. Understand yourself. Look into your heart. Your sins make you old and broken and rotten and sick. And when your sins are forgiven, when you leave the confessional, you are squeaky clean like an infant. That is the renewal of the human race. That is Chosha Bachatha, that is New Sunday. And so, brothers and sisters, the way that Christ brings us his mercy, brings us his peace, he made the choice to do it through these ministers of the church. Through them, we also receive, all of us receive the Holy Spirit, and all of us have the mission to bring his peace and his mercy and his renewal to the whole world.